Alma chapter 38. In chapter 38, Alma talks with his son Shiblon. And again, he repeats, as he said, he will say to every one of his sons. He repeats right off to keep the commandments of God, and then you will prosper in the land. And if in life we have our temporal desires or our temporal wants, and that is that we'd like to prosper and have plenty around us and not be worrying about the things we need to do, our labors and eat and so on and so forth. And so he says, you'll prosper if you keep my commandments. And so don't be worrying about that sort of a thing and just enjoy the prosperity, but keep your eye on the Lord. Because if you don't, as he says again, if you do not keep my commandments, then you shall be cut off. And again, he's saying, keeping whose commandments? His commandments, not the commandments of men or someone else. I have to keep repeating this. And the reason that I keep repeating is because I'm just quoting from the Book of Mormon or commenting on that it continues to do that. Because that in this chapter particularly, that's what the Alma is doing. He's talking to his son, but is he talking to his son saying, follow me, I'm the great prophet that did all this work, and I'm a great, great prophet of the Lord who's seen an angel, and so therefore follow me? No. So then why should the leaders of the church today be telling us to follow them? Certainly not even the great prophets of the Book of Mormon said to do that. In fact, here, son by son, he turns them to the Lord. And he as he says in verse 2 to Shiblon, he says, look to the Lord your God. See, don't look to me. Don't look to the church. Don't look to anything else. Look to the Lord your God. And then he goes on to say that it brings great joy to his heart that Shiblon had borne the many afflictions that he had when they were doing the missionary work, and that he had did it obviously because he had his eye focused on Christ and had felt the love of Christ, and so he was listening to him, meaning that he had bore these afflictions with his eye single to the Lord, not just doing it because Alma had told him to. And so he goes on and he says to Shiblon, he says, says in verse 5, to put his trust in God. Again, he has to go right back to saying, now keep your eye focused on the Lord. Don't focus on me, and don't focus on man or anything else, or take pleasure in your great works that you think you have, but focus that you might think that you have because of converting all these people. But keep your trust in God and focus on Him. And he says, now I know this to be correct. Again, he says, why? He says, because I know Him. In verse 6, he says, because of the Spirit of God. So now what is he telling him? He said, now you go to the Spirit of God. Now notice again that the true leaders that are appointed by the Lord always point you to God and always tell you to go to the Spirit and not just to listen to their word. Have the Spirit verify these things to you. And then he goes on to say that why he had got the Spirit. And he retells his story of the angel coming to him and how through all these things that he'd went through feeling his sin and everything, that what brought him out of is when he focused on the Savior. And he's telling him now, so you go and you focus on the Savior now. He then tells him how, things to be aware of, things that will take his focus off of the Savior. And in verse 11 he says, watch out for pride, because pride is what is the main thing that the devil uses. And he explains that is when you boast in your own wisdom. And so he says, you know, there he says, do not boast in your wisdom or you're in your own strength. Because again, Shiblon had a lot of success among the Zoramites, and he said, don't start taking the credit unto yourself, but keep your eye on the Lord and recognize that it's His wisdom and His strength and so forth that has given you success. And then he tells them to speak with boldness, but not overbearance. Again, boldness means speak by the Spirit and feel the truth in what you're saying and hold to that truth. But don't try and stuff that down someone's throat. Don't try and force that upon them with your great words or your great logic. You just state it, and then you hold. And a lot of times, speaking with boldness means that we state the truth, and then when somebody wants to continue to argue about it, then we just hold to the truth, and we don't get into an argument. We don't try to bring up any great logical things to support it other than what's told to us by the Spirit. But in a sense, being bold means that you go in, you really don't say a lot after that. And he says that because he says that also that when we're speaking and you're teaching these other people, that you've got to be filled with love, and it's important that that's how you stay with Christ, is by having love, not by getting into these to an argument or hating someone or being mad. It's by feeling love, and love is what Christ is and what He has for us, and that's how we will how we stay with Him. And then he tells them to not pray as the Zoramites do, and we learn a little bit more about the Zoramites, meaning that their prayer just wasn't this. Wasn't just this one repetitive prayer, but that it really came from men, meaning that it made this prayer up to be so that it was something that sounded good according to men. And he tells them not to be, and again he said that the Zoramites did this to be praised for their wisdom. And we have to feel that obviously, other than doing the prayer, the one prayer on Ramayamtam, that the Zoramites must have been doing some other prayers and preachings is brought here, but they were just doing things to be heard of men and to show how smart they were and to be praised for their own wisdom. Again, that's what we feel when we go to General Conference. These men don't want to reveal Scripture and use Scripture. They want to use their own precepts so that we'll all say, oh, that was really a good talk, and you're talking about all these wonderful things that are of value to men instead of just quoting from Scripture and explaining Scripture to him. Notice this is also as telling him when he speaks, how is he supposed to speak then? What's the opposite of this? He's supposed to speak by the Spirit and let the Spirit tell him what to say and do what the Spirit says. Don't be using your own wisdom. Don't use your wisdom at all. Use only the things that have been told you by God. And again, see, a man thinks that lowers him. If I just go and say what God said, then I'm not really saying a lot. But we have to believe that we really, again, it's kind of believing this idea that we're unworthy and that we really don't have anything to add. God can say, knows all, and he can present all to men. He doesn't need us. And so all we can do is try and shed some new light on the same words that have been presented by God through his previous prophets. And then he says, be sure that we do not say. Now, obviously, remember this Book of Mormon is written to us, so when we can see a lot of our sins in it, and does it apply? And it says, do not say, O God, I thank thee that we are better than our brethren. And that is what is taught throughout the Mormon church, that because you're a Mormon, that you've got the saving ordinances, and that you're the right one, and that you're better than your brother, and that you're a chosen people, and it's the most terrible thing that takes over the righteous. And I do mean they were righteous, meaning they were good souls who came under the Book of Mormon and recognized the truth about things, and then they wanted to and then all of a sudden they began to think, well, now we're the chosen people. And he says, no, you have to say to yourself, forgive my unworthiness. And then it says on further to acknowledge your unworthiness before God. When? At all times. If you want to grow with God, you have to recognize that you have nothing did nothing to deserve it. All you have done is the only reason that He's doing this for you is because as God the Father, He loves you very much. And that because He loves you, He is doing these things for you, and it's all based on His love, but it is for no worth of yours. And whenever you do things, He rewards you for keeping His commandments, and He rewards you immediately, and He rewards you in heaven. But He only does this because it was His plan, and He did it for love. He does not do it because He owed it to you, and He doesn't. And when you keep His commandments, again, you have already been paid by being given the plan of salvation, by all the growth you had in the pre-existence, by the atonement of overcoming and giving you the opportunity to overcome your sins. Everything has been done for you, and you cannot pay back your sins. We can look at this any which way. You owe it to God. You owe it to Jesus Christ. All you do is owe. You have done nothing to merit this. In fact, you went off and sinned instead of being a perfect man as the Savior was. And that when you look at your brother, and you certainly don't, even if you... superficially appear to be above them in, we'll call it, in righteousness, or meaning in overcoming your weaknesses, you have fewer weaknesses, then you're to pray to the Lord for them and ask for mercy upon them. Because also when you see them, you can see some of your sinful states, and so you should take compassion upon them and ask that the Lord to show them the same mercy. As Alma would be praying that if an angel would help any of us, then the Lord please send an angel to them. And so therefore he's calling out for his mercy, calling out for the Lord's mercy for us. And again, I feel very, very impressed to say that if an angel would change you, then the Lord would send you an angel. He will do anything that would truly change your heart. But most of these physical things do not change you. They cause a strong disruption. And because of seeing that pure knowledge that you then tend to more turn to the devil for comfort, because that's the state that you are in, and it actually pushes you away because of shame and other things and other strong feelings like that of not wanting to admit your guilt and so on and so on. So again, as I repeat, the Lord will do it does do everything for you to give you every opportunity for you to grow.